Really pleased to have with us now from the Browns Radio Network, Doug Deacon. Watched some practice with you today, Doug. How you doing?
Doing fine. Glad I was just watching and not practicing.
It was a little hot out there. The breeze was somewhat of a relief, but like you said, better watching than doing. My first takeaway in the story of the day, the headline, if you will, Brandon Whedon taking first-team snaps, and then immediately thereafter Pat Shurmur telling reporters, don't read anything into that, just like we weren't supposed to read anything into Colt McCoy taking first-team snaps next week. But I think when the rookie's out there taking the first-team snaps, everybody wants to read something into it.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, the thing is when you have a quarterback, you want him to mix in with the different groups of receivers and running backs and get a feel for it. And, you know, it's pretty obvious, you know, when you draft a guy in the first round, you know, he's going to be your guy. I mean, otherwise you've made a mistake, and I think, you know, that's the feeling. But, you know, by the same token, I look at it as, you know, the year before I got here, they drafted Mike Phipps, you know, third overall.
Right.
And the year after I got here, they drafted Brian Sipe in the 17th round. In 1980, Brian Sipe was a league MVP, and Mike Phipps was out of the league. So,
yeah,
you know, anything can happen. And, you know, this is a game where it's pretty violent, and you need a couple quarterbacks. So, you know, to have somebody, you know, that gets the reps with the first group, and somebody that, you know, up and coming and getting the reps with the first group, it's not a bad situation. I think the thing that is most noticeable is, you know, last year with no OTAs and none of that,
right,
you know, how much, you know, I think more of these guys have been able to grasp what they're doing, and I think, you know, it's really going to pay off for them when the season starts.
Yeah, they look, as a team, certainly everybody looks like they know what they're doing. Back to Whedon, I think he continues to throw the ball so well and show us why he is a first-round pick, why the Browns were as enamored with him as they are. He doesn't disappoint when he's out there. He throws a consistent football. And it looked like everything, almost everything that came out of his hand, not only came out of his hand quickly, but on target and receivers, and very catchable. Receivers had the ability to get it and then tuck it and run upfield. And I know, again, there's only certain amounts of conclusions you want to make in these drills, but that's, to me, it just looks like from day one of rookie minicamp to what we saw today, Doug, I'm seeing stuff that impresses me from Brandon Whedon.
Oh, I'm most definitely. And I think, you know, the thing is, although, you know, they don't have the pads on and they can't do the bump and run, it seems like guys are getting more open. And I think sometimes the arm has something to do with that.
Yeah. Yes, that's a great point. It does look like there's a lot of space around these receivers, and I think it's the speed of the way the passing game's moving. That ball coming out of there quickly. And let's talk about the receivers, too. I think as a group, they're – tempo and their ability to move, the conditioning that they have is paying off. A lot of discussion today about Greg Little, the remade body, I guess, that people talk about, the physique, and he does look like a much different player than he did a year ago.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, you got to go back to the whole thing where he didn't play for a year. He came in, yeah, he was kind of a stocky wide receiver. I think if you just looked at him, you immediately labeled him as a possession receiver almost. But, you know, the way he looks now, you know, he looks like he could be your go-to guy. And, you know, I think, you know, credit to Greg Little. I mean,
yeah,
he took and he, you know, he put the work in to get himself in this kind of condition. And the other thing is, I think, you know, receivers, you know, when you've got a new offense, you're trying to think, you know, what's my adjustment? What do I do? And you're thinking and you're not really reacting. And all of a sudden your concentration goes down and then you start dropping passes and that becomes infectious. And I think, you know, the combination of the arm, knowing the offense, mm-hmm, and the ability to just feel comfortable in what you're doing. And in Little's case, with that extra years of experience coming off a non-year, he should make a giant step this year, I would hope.
Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Doug, the other thing is just about the way these practices are evolving. This week is going to be devoted a lot to situational football. Pat Shurmur was talking about that. I see that as being maybe the most critical thing that was missing from a year ago, where I know this was true for 32 teams. People always remind you everybody had the same challenges, but I think it was doubly difficult for the Browns with a new coach and with a lot of new faces and young players who didn't really know what they needed to know about situational football as it is coached and taught by this particular group. And I know this coaching staff has some new people involved with the process as well, but it seems to me that this might be as critical a part of what this offseason, what these weeks of offseason work are going to be about.
Yeah, and I think, you know, once you're retired, you can, you know, say things like this. You almost wish that, you know, a new coach usually gets that extra mini camp. And although they didn't get that extra mini camp last year,
right,
you know, they should give it to them this year.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And of course, you know, any veteran ball player is going to say, oh, you forgot where you were. But
yeah,
but,
we don't like that stuff.
But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, it's one of those evils that you need to do. And the comfort level of, you know, the things that they went through last year, you know, not having the OTAs, you know, really not knowing the people and installing a new offense. And they should have had an extra mini camp last year, which, sure, you know, would help. So they were really behind the eight ball going in. And then, you know, you had a running back that you didn't know if he was going to play from week to week. So, I mean, the schedule is going to be tough this year, but I think you're going to see a different type of offensive football this year.
Well, what occurs to me is in those many close games that this team played, mistakes are the difference. And we saw plenty of them from this Browns team. And I think the mistakes were also occurring in situational, yeah, you know, in the situational circumstances that I think are what's being practiced now. So I'm not saying that that you can practice this and this is going to guarantee you won't make them, but it's got to help. And it's got to give the player some connection, some point of reference to go back to. They really had none last year, even though we know there's some situational days in training camp, but there's no way they had enough time during the course of the four or so weeks that they were in camp and then playing preseason games to cover all that needs to be covered. And it showed on the field last year.
Well, the cliff notes of that is I don't think we'll see Alex Smith getting the handoff on third and one.
There you go.
I mean, there's a classic case yeah, where, you know, you got so many things going on. And, you know, of course, if you go back to, you know, Mangini, when he was here, you know, he was, you know, from the Belichick tree where, you know, you right, practiced whether it's a left-footed kicker or a right-footed kicker. But, I mean, yeah, those things, you know, situational things pay off because, you know, the pro game is different than the college game. And you know, this is a young football team. This
it
team
is.
Has been turned over in the last couple years. And Tommy Heckert's, you know, done a great job of getting his type of ball players. And, you know, it's become a faster team besides being a younger team. And, I, you know, in our division, you also need a physical team. And this year I think we've got to be more physical in the draft too.
It looked like some people in the secondary showed up. We saw a couple of plays where and it was early on. I know all our focus tends to be on the quarterbacks throwing, the receivers catching, how they look. But I thought just in general everybody seemed to be where they're supposed to be, to even make plays, even if we weren't always seeing interceptions. It looked like some DBs were very close on a couple of things. And in general, when you're playing with limited defensive signals or defensive base plays, I thought overall they looked as a group like they were, which is what we saw for the most part last year. But I thought there was even maybe more of a quickness and better anticipation, whatever you want to call it, from the secondary.
Well, it goes to what you originally said is, you know, they've seen the offense on the defensive side now, so they have an idea of what they're trying
yeah,
to do there, and they can jump to routes and undercut it and things like that. And,
right,
and you know, that's part of the game. But, you know, by the same token, that tells the receiver, hey, if that guy's going to undercut you, you didn't sell your route. So, you know he's got to learn from the fact that, you know, he just got undercut.
Yep. No, yeah, there's no doubt about that. And the other thing is special teams. As much as we can take from these, I know these are 10-minute intervals, but I like what Chris Tabor and this group is doing. There's a lot of fundamental preaching going on out there. This was a group that needs all kinds of improvement and tighter play. From what I can see from the young group that he has out there, looks like he has full attention, looks like he has some good athletes, looks like he has some really good speed to work with.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at some of the depth that they picked up in the draft, you know, linebackers, you know, that's how those kids are going to make the roster. They're going to be backups that earn their way on, you know, playing special teams. And the other thing is, you know, so often, you get a linebacker in college that, you know, he's a first-team player. He might not be playing on all the special teams. Now, all of a sudden, as a defensive player, you got to learn to block. Much yeah. like as a wide receiver, you got to learn to tackle. And, you know, those are things that it's a big adjustment, especially when you're going against professional people that, you know, might have been doing it, you know, all their lives. So, you know, time spent on special teams, you know, because in a lot of ways, you know, it cost us some ball games last year. And,
no doubt.
You know, you go back and you hope you've got the thing fixed at the deep snapping position. But overall, you know, your coverage and the different things, you know, and Josh, you know what you got in Josh, but
sure.
now you add the speed of, you know, Benjamin. Now all of a sudden you got a different way to look at it.
And man, is he fast watching Travis Benjamin move out there. It's like a blur. Great stuff, Deke. We appreciate it. We'll catch up with you again soon.
Well, I'm your other blur.
He is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network joining us as he regularly does here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.